WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FivePoop.com as well. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're live. We're here. It's The Rack. Live here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live on twitch.tv/TheRackLive. Make sure you follow, subscribe to that channel, because that'd be awesome. Come chat there. Come chat at wildtalkradio.com. Come chat at gerwick.net and rackradioshow.com. Tweet at wildtalkradio, at rackradioshow, at Lynn's Ward.
And we have a lot to get into tonight. We have some news. We'll have notes. We're talking a little Fortnite because something kind of happened that was pretty epic. So we have to talk about that, pun intended. And yes, we are discussing it. Crown Jewel. We will be talking about the show. We'll kind of do a high level overview of the results. We're not going to go like, I think, super in depth, but we do want to talk about it because it did happen last Friday on the WWE Network. So we feel it should be covered. We're also doing all your favorites, Tweet of the Week, Mixed Match Challenge, SmackDown Throwdown, NXT, all that good, fun, happy stuff. So I say we jump right into the news.
Presented by Gerwick.net.
Are we doing the Blame Brents or are we doing the Blame Brents later?
Later.
Okay. There are Blame Brents.
There are, but they'll tie into Crown Jewel and everything like that.
Well, one of them does.
One of them does, so we'll tie it all together.
Yeah. So, WWE has acquired the Cologne's Wrestling Library, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, the World Wrestling Council, they have acquired their video library, so you probably see that popping up in the next year on the WWE Network. So that should be interesting. I know they've been after it for a while, and they finally came to a deal. So the World Wrestling Council, I believe it is, WWC, is now in the WWE archives.
I know it's weird to be really happy to hear things like this, but it makes me really happy that, like, the archives are being amassed and created and, like, put together in one place where all these wrestling collections from, you know, all the years that have gone by are being collected and preserved and cataloged and put into a library where they're all together.
Yeah.
Like, you have to figure they have one of the most extensive wrestling libraries anywhere because they have pretty much everybody's stuff. So it's kind of a really cool conservation effort. Like, I know they're doing it purely for profitability, but also it is conservation effort. You know, that they're saving this history from being lost, which I think is cool.
Yeah, it's great. And the more they collect, the better off we'll be. It's like, there will always be a record of it somewhere. Whether you ever see it, that's a different story. But it'll be there. Like, they've been putting a lot of old classic stuff from WCCW up there. There's AWA stuff up on the network. There's a whole bunch of stuff that they're just putting up there for you to enjoy. And it's cool. Whether you're a fan or not of the certain promotion, doesn't matter. At least they have it and it's preserving the content. And they'll digitize it, which is the key.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is that they're digitizing all the physical tapes. So even if something happens to the physical tape, which hopefully it never does, but things do degrade over time, the digital copy will be there hopefully forever. And it's hopefully backed up somewhere where it doesn't get lost. But sure, it is probably backed up in like 6 different places. But
I mean, we back up things 6 different ways. They must do it 12. I mean,
right? Well, you almost have to these days. Jesus.
Right?
I mean, God. But yeah, so I mean, I think it's really cool that they've done this. Just another quick note, the house show for NXT San Jose is now going to be a TV taping. That's right before Survivor Series and TakeOver. Or it's right before, I should say, TakeOver, War Games. So yeah, that's now going to be TV. So congratulations, San Jose. Have fun.
Have fun, yeah. That's cool. They're changing it over to a TV taping. That way, they don't have to travel all the way back to Full Sail. They get a couple episodes in before TakeOver. So that should take them through the holidays, hopefully.
Yeah. So, yay. And now we're going to kind of talk about the biggest story of the week. This broke today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really interesting and really worrying for WWE. It was announced that USA is ending the Raw overrun. There will no longer be a 5 to 15 minute overrun for Raw. It's now a hard stop at 11. And this is partially due to the fact that Raw is not popping that rating at the end of the night. They're not, that little extra 5 to 15 minutes is not seeing a bump. If anything, it's kind of been declining. And USA's not happy about that. And you know what? They can put other programs in there that are going to do a better rating. And that's not good for WWE.
It's not even they'll do a better rating. It won't screw up the rest of their night. Because WWE going over pushes everything back by 5, 6, 7, 15 minutes. So the rest of their night's programming, they're playing catch-up throughout the night. All they air is reruns of their current programming at 11 o'clock. But it's now like,
Yeah, it puts it on a weird schedule, and at some point you have to write it. You have to put it back to where it's supposed to be. So the next morning, you know, when you have those morning viewers tune in, what you need to start at 8 o'clock starts at 8 and so on and so forth. So, you know, you don't want your schedule screwed up by WWE. So this helps them even out their schedule. But also, again, they're not getting that rating. And that's really not good.
No, it's not. Because for 20 years, they've had this overrun. At least 20 years.
Oh, every bit.
They've had it. And because it was during the Monday Night Wars, that era, it's like everyone, when Nitro and everyone tuned back over and see what's happening on Raw, you see the final conclusion. The conclusion of Raw every week is not always the greatest. Was it always ever the greatest? No, but you don't have that extra time now. One, that will play into how the show is booked to begin with, because now you can't have The Undertaker coming out at 10:55 anymore, walking to the ring to cut a promo. You actually have to have it at the quarter hour, your final 15 minutes. Like, the whole show gets restructured now. Even if it just feels like, oh, they're only cutting 5 minutes off the show because it's only technically going to 11:05. It now, you have to recut how you do every single break, especially in that final hour. If WWE was popping the rating, getting the tune-in numbers that they would on the overrun, that'd be one thing. This was a USA Network decision, not a WWE decision. Could they get their overrun back? Yes.
Yeah, if they start doing gangbuster ratings again, yeah, they'll get whatever they want. But this is not good news for WWE, especially with the new TV deals, I think, still very much up in the air.
They're not up. No, they're signed. They're good.
They're signed?
They're good.
Okay. So they're good there, but I mean, in terms of you just signed two multi-million, multi-billion dollar deals, however the hell much money they got for their product, and your ratings are in decline, in serious decline, and you're not producing what a lot of people, there's a lot of complaints about the product in terms of it not being quality, in terms of it really not being entertaining. And so that's not what advertisers want to hear. That's not what networks want to hear. And so WWE, I feel like, should be a little concerned. They're probably not. But it's like, you should be just a touch worried that USA went, hey, we're not seeing results. So you know what? We're taking that 5 minutes back. And you end at 11.
It's a hard network out like they have for SmackDown. So it's like, you can't go long. You gotta stick to your time cues. You gotta get out. If you're over by a minute, well, then that minute doesn't get to air on TV anymore. It's hard network outs. And they're used to it, especially with SmackDown being live for the last year or so. They're used to it,
but it's like they very much, in some cases, do rely on that overrun. They really, really, really do, especially for your bigger angles around the big four pay-per-views. They really rely on that overrun to sort of help give them that extra time that they need, because it's like they have that flex. Like I said, it's 5 to 15 minutes usually. And if they need an extra 15 minutes to get an angle over, hey, guess what? That it goes in that 15 minutes. And now they don't have it anymore. So, like you said, it's going to be really interesting how they have to book the show now with the hard out.
And I can confirm it's on the guide. It's 11 o'clock, no longer 11:05. Could they get exceptions from USA Network to go over when, say, a big-time movie star makes their return to Monday Night Raw and wants to go long? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because if that big-time movie star says he wants to cook up something on Monday Night Raw, USA Network goes, we'll smell it. We'll come. We'll let you do it. But that's the only real exception they'll get.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be something really huge to get that. So, yeah. It's like, okay. All right. Wait, Barrett's in Lucha Underground?
Who?
Really?
Who?
Barrett went back to wrestling?
Wait, Barrett's not in Lucha Underground. Is he?
I don't know.
Is he?
That's what Devil's Fan is saying. Is that true, Devil's Fan? I didn't think he went back to wrestling. I thought he was done with it. He was doing movies now. Maybe?
Oh, he is. Oh,
he is. Oh, son of a bitch.
So that was him at the end of the thing. Okay.
Cool.
Oh, that's who the graphic was. Well, here's the thing about Lucha Underground. There may not be any more Lucha Underground. Sorry. Their future is up in the air, too.
Did he cut his hair, or is it still long?
I don't know. Devil's Fan will know. All I saw was a GIF this morning. I knew who it was. So, but yeah. Lucha Underground, really quick. Their TV deal with El Rey Network is up in the air. If El Rey Network can do good, get them a partner. If MGM could get them a partner and get the money, they'll do a season 5. Right now, the people in charge have come out and said they're not doing the show the way they did this season with such a low budget. They need a higher budget to do the show, and right now, there's no money for it. So, if you're a fan of Lucha Underground, it could come back, but it may be another year or so before it does. Anyway, tangent, other stories.
Hey, this is what happens when we actually pay attention to the chat.
It's a good thing that the one chat stopped working for me, so it's like, hey, let me go open it up again.
Right?
It stopped with one comment, and it's like, oh, okay. Cool. And then I look back, it's like, oh, there was about 10 comments. Cool. We're good.
So anyway, so that does it for the news. But your friends over at Gerwick.net and FightBooth.com, because I almost dropped something. And so now we're going to switch gears really quick, and we're going to jump over to Fortnite, because we have to talk about it really quickly. Not really quickly. We're going to go in detail about this. So there was a huge event this past week. In which the Cube, fondly known as Kevin, had his grand finale in terms of being in the map. As we all remember, Kevin appeared in the Summer Skirmish in last season, about midpoint last season, towards the end, actually.
Midway through.
Yeah, and he proceeded to roll around the map, imprinted the map, and then he fell in the lake, and then he turned the lake into Jell-O, and then at the end of the season, we were like, oh no, what happened with Kevin? Is Kevin okay? And then Kevin rose from the lake, lifting the island in the center up in a giant tornado, and then proceeded to go around the map again and suck the energy from the runes he'd left. And then he got to the end, and he pulled the floating islands, little baby floating islands with the runes on them, to him, where he took his final power, and then he went back to the lake, where he proceeded to float and give us zombies for Halloween. Which, why?
I hate the zombies. No, cube monsters.
They're zombies.
No,
they're zombies. Those are zombies. They're purple, but they're zombies.
If Epic is listening, they're cube monsters.
If Epic is listening, goddammit, give me Disco or 50 versus 50 back.
Please.
Please. Like, you want me to do 500 damage to people in a single match? I need Disco back. Because that's the only way that's happening.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Anyway, so the big event happened then, where Kevin's got his power sucked away. no more. There's a rainbow over the map.
Kevin exploded.
He exploded. His remains lay in the leaky lake.
Which is really, truly aesthetically beautiful. Like, you have the remains of what's left of the island after it broke when he sort of, like, went crazy there for a hot minute. And so it's like, that's fallen, but it's like there's tree, or there's grass, and there's flowers, and there's waterfalls all surrounding where the portal was in the center of the lake. And Kevin's remains, as it were, are in a little, almost like Stonehenge-type pattern in the center. You know, he's all broken up into shards now, because again, he blew up. But yeah, what was really cool about this event, and I'm gonna let you describe it because you were actually in it, you saw it, I wasn't in, I watched a video of it, so you describe it because it was, pardon the pun, it was epic.
So for starters, I hate it. I was so worried about this event, like legit worried about it because of exactly what ended up happening to some people. People died or got eliminated early in the match. If you jumped right in at 12:59, you would get eliminated by people who want to be idiots. Because that's what they do. And you don't get to see it. But you had to be in the event by 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. And when you're in this event, you're watching the cube, watching Kevin. And for me, I sat in a tree so I wouldn't get shot by anyone.
Because he's smart.
I'm smart like that. So like 15 people get eliminated. It's like, ooh, I feel sorry for them. So you see the cube spin. And then you get this cutscene in a battle royale game where you're floating up in this white ghosty area and you're just floating around. Everyone's floating around. You can't do anything. You can't really move that much. And then a butterfly comes. And a butterfly sits on your hand. It was awesome. Like, in a competitive game, there's a cutscene. What? When does that happen?
And at the end of the cutscene, it took you to the new map.
Yeah, brought you back down. The map was changed.
Like, that's just... I mean, I have to applaud Epic Games for this. That was really... well executed, well done. I mean, when they go for it, because it's really similar to the rocket and how they did the rocket, but this was bigger.
But this was bigger because this was a cutscene. The rocket just happened. You had to be watching. This was a cutscene.
Yeah, this was really, truly well executed on Epic's part in terms of the coordination, in terms of how smoothly everything went. I mean, it was just beautiful the way that they did it. And the graphics in the cutscene were just absolutely sick.
Yeah.
I mean, so, it, like, the butterfly was not just a butterfly. It was, like, almost like a crystal. Like, if you play Fortnite and you know what the rifts look like, it was essentially made out of a rift.
Yeah.
It was, like, almost like a glass or a crystal butterfly. Like, it was really cool how it did it.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That was awesome.
So, Kevin is no longer with us, but in tribute to the crazy, stupid fandom of Fortnite, Epic Games released a challenge called Little Kev, where you can get a little piece of Kevin, and you could run around with him, and yes, it has googly eyes that shake, and you can get it as back bling. I love that they did that. I love that they acknowledge that the fan base named the cube Kevin.
Yeah.
Like, that is the one thing Epic is so good at, is they pay attention to their fans, they listen to their fans, and they do stuff like this, where it's like the bus driver thing, right? Where everybody's like, oh, we should be able to thank the bus driver, right? Even though the bus driver is pretty much non-existent in the game. You never see the bus driver ever. You just see the bus, right? But it's like, we should be able to thank the bus driver for driving our idiot butts across this island so we can all just go do stupid stuff in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a movement, and Epic was like, okay, you can now thank the bus driver.
Which, if you want to thank the bus driver, you can do the bus command in chat.
Yes. Yes, we have a bus command. So if you'd like to thank the bus driver, do the bus command in chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, which people are doing.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I mean, it's stupid stuff like that where they recognize that their fans are very passionate about this game and they pay attention. And so it's like, hey, why not? Let's pick up on the fact that they call a cube Kevin. And let's run with it. And it's like, even in the fall skirmish, they were having the announcers call him Kevin. Because he has a name. It's like, we have named this cube. He is ours. We love him. And damn it, he is called Kevin. So, bravo, Epic. Mm-hmm. Bravo on that.
So, here you go. There's your Fortnite. Fortnite with friends, most likely after the show.
Probably. In some shape or form.
In some shape or form.
We are actually going to have to play the regular game because there's no 50 versus 50 and there's no zombie mode. Or there's no disco mode. So, we either have to play regular squads or we're going to play Playground. Probably Playground.
So we'll figure that out.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
Boys, so, hold on. There's a fight going. There's pushing and shoving going on in the football game. Steelers are whooping on the Panthers, by the way. 38-14. And there's a lot of pushing and shoving going on. Anyway.
Who started it?
I don't know. All I heard was whistles and shoving. I didn't say it.
Gentlemen, your tits. Calm them. It's fine. It's just football.
So, internets, we need to have a discussion.
Speaking of needing to calm my tit.
We need to have a discussion, internets, about Crown Jewel.
Yep.
And how, yep. And how this was not the worst pay-per-view of all time.
Okay, so... I watched this. I did sit through the whole thing. I did watch the whole thing. And honestly, it's like, and I watched it after the fact. Like, I pretty much watched it yesterday. So, like, the general impression I had walking into this pay-per-view was, this is, like, the worst thing ever. It's gonna suck. It's terrible. And I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, honestly, it's really not that bad. Like, it's, is it the best thing I've ever seen? No. Was it flawed? Yeah. But so was Evolution. So was every pay-per-view that they put on. And there are botches and flaws and production errors and everything else because there's human beings involved, you know? It happens. But, you know, it's like in terms of the show, this was just literally a BS, hey, we're going to make a crap ton of money doing this, so we're going to just go over there, throw some matches together, go entertain the crowd in Saudi Arabia, and come back a little bit richer. Like, that is literally what this show was meant to be. That's what it was. Like, it was not really meant to be anything more than that. Because they sort of wedged it into the schedule a little bit.
Oh, someone got tossed.
Oh. So, I mean, it's like, for me, watching this, purely from an entertainment perspective, I didn't have a problem with it. It kept me mostly engaged. I mean, I kind of lost a little interest in the tourney portion, just because it was back to back to back to back. I liked and I didn't like the introductions that they did in the tourney portion, because it's like when they're going through and they're going through like all the championships everybody's held and da 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 da. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. You know, Dolph Ziggler is a, you know, Grand Slam champion or a Triple Crown champion or whatever he is. You know, you forget those kinds of things about it. So the fact that they're listing off all the accomplishments of the people in the tourney was cool, but after a while it got a little repetitive and you're just like, okay, all right, yeah, get through it. Yeah. But I mean,
I like that part. I like that part that they gave them the proper instructions. And they only did it in the first round, so I was okay with it.
Yeah, but it's just like, it after, especially when you got to, with the announcers involved, like, it's one thing for, you know, like, I think it was Greg Hamilton who was doing the ring announcing, for him to be doing it, because he's just going through the accolades, right? And then you have the commentary team. And I'm just going to say it, and I don't mean to offend anybody by saying it, but there was a lot of dick sucking going on in this show on commentary. Like, Michael Cole just was going for it, point blank, several times during this show. Mainly during Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio. Really, really hard in that match. All these puns are intended. So yeah, it was, that got a little much. Cause it's like, dudes, just stop. Okay? Just stop. But the matches in the tourney were fine.
So for those with the tournament matches, it's, if you thought the tournament matches in the first round would go longer than 7-8 minutes, you're misguided. You have to rethink some things. If you go back and watch some of the early King of the Rings, or some of the mid-90s King of the Rings, the matches went 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and that was the same thing. That's the same premise they went with here. They kept the matches short because the other guys had to wrestle a little longer. Were there some matches that went longer, like Kurt Angle and Dolph Ziggler? That went a couple more minutes. And that was one of the better matches in the first round, was Kurt and Dolph.
Mm-hmm. Kurt looked good.
Kurt really looked good in the tournament. He lost to Dolph, but it was a really solid matchup. I enjoyed it. Jeff and Miz was Jeff and Miz. Miz beat Jeff Hardy. Ray beat Randy Orton, and then Randy decided to attack Rey Mysterio, and you injured Ray. So he was weakened going later in the show. Seth Rollins beat Bobby Lashley. Again, no real shock. Then, in the second round, you had Miz beat Ray in a longer match. You had Ziggler beat Rollins in a longer match. And guess what? Ziggler Rollins was really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I don't want to ever see it again, but it was really good.
I feel like in the right application, if you got the right version of Dolph Ziggler, I don't feel like the version he's doing now would work. But if you, in the right application, Dolph versus Seth could be a really intriguing feud, but I don't know if I want it with the character that Dolph is doing right now.
Right, and we've seen this match like 18 times in the last 4 months. So I'm good with, we're done seeing it. I don't want any more of that. Let's move right. on into a different direction. Okay, so it was Miz and Ray, and Miz beat him, Rollins lost to Ziggler. And then in the finals, before the match started, Miz got hurt in a brawl with Ziggler. So instead of having the match end via forfeit, Shane McMahon was put in play. Shane was like, no, I'll do it. He'll step in. And then once he did, I started laughing.
This was a little self-serving, to say the least, but he's a McMahon, so it's allowed. But yeah, it's just like, really, Shane? Really? And of course, Shane ends up winning. So now Shane Punk, or SM Punk, I guess, if you want to call him that, ends up being the best in the world. He gets the shiny, pretty trophy, and he's running around like he beat half the roster. It's like, Shane, you beat one person, honey. He didn't throw himself off anything, so that's a blessing.
As you can see on the Twitch player right now, you have Shane O'Punk on your screen.
There he is. Shane O'Punk.
Shane O'Punk.
Right there.
In all his glory.
Oh my God.
Best in the world.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, but this is the start of something for Shane. He's back on TV. They're clearly turning him into a bad guy, so.
See where that goes.
Let's see where this goes.
Let me get through the tag match.
Hold on. Devil's Fan, I don't think that's true.
Oh, the Vince thing?
Yeah, the Vince thing.
Probably not.
I don't think Vince is gonna sell.
If he ever did, it would be to an American multi-billion-dollar company. Anyway. Cesaro and Sheamus defeated New Day to retain the tag team titles. You had Big Show interfere, yada yada yada. It was a solid matchup.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen this before. We'll see it again. I thought this was fine.
It was fine. Again, what was memorable about it, what it made it feel like WrestleMania, was the New Day and their magic carpet.
That was cool as hell. They're just gliding to the ring on the magic carpet. It's like, alright, okay. That was cool. They got a little something something. It's like, Cesaro and Sheamus get Big Show, New Day gets a flying carpet. Fair trade.
AJ Styles defeated Samoa Joe to retain the WWE Championship.
This was good. This was really good. Like, I'm kind of shocked people are, like, crapping all over this pay-per-view because this match was on there, and I get it's not the entirety of the pay-per-view, but it's like, this was a really good match. This was highly entertaining. Joe, they told a really nice story with Joe's knee and how it was still bothering him, and, well, AJ was once and again able to get away from Joe thanks to that injured knee, so I thought this was perfectly acceptable. This was great, actually.
It was a good matchup from two good quality guys, and it was a matchup they put together 3 days ago, 3 days beforehand, and it's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. They're going to go out there and have a solid matchup. It's not... Was this a pay-per-view main event style match? No, but it was an 11-12 minute match that they did their stuff. They put on a show. Everyone was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. Nothing. Again, you had solid to good action throughout the show. And then you had the Universal title match.
Yeah, I can see where it took a nosedive here.
But there's
rumors coming out now about Braun Strowman that you're not sure if you want to believe him or not. Because you always take these things with a grain of salt. But it's like, okay, if either one of them are true, then that explains why what happened.
Yeah, so either way, did this matchup do any favors for Braun Strowman? No.
As we
saw Monday Night Raw, they're trying to rebuild him as this out-of-control monster. After, you know, cutting his balls off for 6 weeks when they turned him heel. So they're trying to redo him. So he's pissed off. And you had Corbin do the attack and knocked him out, and everything went from there. And then Lesnar hit move after move after move, and Strowman got in to the ring, beat a 10 count after he got F5 to the outside. And you made him look like, okay, the monster takes 5 F5s to beat him. It's like, okay, fine, cool, whatever. Brock Lesnar winning. I can see why people are upset. I can see the backlash. But at the same point, we're headed into WrestleMania season. There's not this extended window where the WWE Universal Championship won't be a focus because you have landmark pay-per-views. You have Royal Rumble, you have WrestleMania. Will there be a month or two in between Rumble and WrestleMania where you probably won't see a lot of Brock? Probably not, but at the same point, you may. We just don't know. Money talks, and there's a lot of it to spend.
Money talks, but Brock is also eyeing a UFC fight right after Mania.
Right before Mania,
I'm sorry. And yeah, so the question is how much is Brock going to be available, especially if he goes into camp, to train for the UFC fight to be the Universal Champion? I mean, honestly, to me, we just got the title back at SummerSlam, and due to very unfortunate circumstances, Roman Reigns had to surrender the title so he could go take care of his business and get better. And get well, Roman, we all hope you get better. Very much so. And so they were put in a very, very awkward position of trying to crown a new Universal Champion. And we're not going to give the rumors surrounding Braun any credibility because, again, you always take these things with a grain of salt, but there's rumors swirling that he's got bad knees, that he's a little difficult to work with backstage, that he shows up late, yada, yada, yada. The list goes on and on, that there are reasons that are preventing him from becoming the Universal Champion. And they really didn't have anyone else on such short notice to fill Roman's place. So they did the only thing they had to do. They picked up the phone and they called Brock and they were like, hey dude, we need you to come do this. We'll throw you a bunch of money if you do it. And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? And so he's re-signed a new contract with WWE to be the Universal Champion, at least until WrestleMania, until they kind of figure this out and get somebody else built. So it's like, I understand it from a business perspective. Looking at the roster, they didn't have anybody else really that could fill those shoes for Roman that quickly. They're in the process of rebuilding Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose because they had to play second fiddle to Roman in the Shield, and they really didn't get, much of the limelight. Like, Seth is your IC title champion, and that's great, but he's not really doing a whole lot with it. McIntyre isn't ready. Ziggler's probably never going to get the shot.
They're building up Drew. Drew's going to be your guy. That is very clear. He is once again the chosen one, and he's going to be he'll be the guy to carry the ship.
But he'll be the guy that carries ship, but he's not ready to carry the ship.
No, but you got 6 months.
You got 6 months to get him there, but yeah, I mean, it's like they were building Drew up, and now, again, the Roman's vacating the title has sort of thrown a wrench into everything, and it's, well, do we rush building somebody, or do we take our time? And by putting the title on Brock, this allows them to take their time with Drew, this allows them to take their time with Seth, with Dean, with a few other people on the main roster, build them back up.
You bought yourself 6 months. And that's what you did. And they need it because they were creatively, they were taking a hit. And I know that's the taboo topic to talk about, but let's talk about it. You lost Roman Reigns.
And you can see, based on Crown Jewel, how much they leaned on Roman Reigns creatively in the product, which I think is nothing shocking. We all knew that, but it's like just looking at the gaps that have been left in the product since Roman left, which was not that long ago, only about, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now?
It's been 3 weeks. Like, you were tunneled a certain way. Now, the tunnel is wide open, and you have to filter and funnel everything back into a tunnel and get a direction. They have no direction. Like, they bought themselves some time with Survivor Series, because Survivor Series, Raw versus SmackDown. And then coming out of that, you have the direction on the Rumble. Yes, there's tables, ladders, and chairs, and you can come up with an event where you don't need the Universal Championship match on the show. You can have Seth and Dean in your main event, and that's what it will be, because AJ probably won't be defending on that show.
Mm-mm.
Most likely not, because if it goes to plan, he'll be in the mixed match challenge finale. So there's that direction.
Yeah, and I mean, also another thing that Crown Jewel showed is how much they're leaning on the female roster right now to help carry some of that load as well. And I mean, honestly, I think a lot of the problems they had in terms of Roman not being there, not having the star power necessarily to fill the Universal title match, could have been supplemented by the women in some way. But again, this was a male-only pay-per-view due to laws and everything else in Saudi Arabia. However, Renee Young was allowed to go over, and she was allowed to commentate. She was completely covered up from head to toe, but she was there and she was commentating. So that is a huge step forward, which potentially opens the door for some of the other women to go over later if they continue the agreement and if they decide to go. But this pay-per-view showed exactly where they're hurting, which I feel like is people are like, oh, okay, well, that's where they're weak, so this is why this was bad. And it's like, it wasn't bad.
It was not the greatest show. It was not the worst show.
What this was, and this is going to tell you exactly how old both of us are, is they went through something like this in 2003 when you had Austin leave, you had Brock leave, you had Goldberg leave, you had...
The Rock leave. No, 2003, Goldberg came in. He was the one who stepped in, but you lost Rock, Austin, and Brock right after the WrestleMania.
Taker got hurt.
No, he was Taker was SmackDown 2003.
But he left for a little while. He took a break. No, his wife was pregnant.
That's what it was.
His wife was pregnant, and she had the baby, and so he went out to be with his wife and child for a little bit, and then he came back at WrestleMania. That's what happened. But yeah, so you temporarily lost Taker. So what happened is you essentially lost your top tier of stars, really in one fell swoop. You had Goldberg there, but Goldberg really wasn't enough to fill the spot. And so this is where you saw the rise of John Cena, of Edge, of a few other people in the company, because again, they had to backfill. They had nobody else to backfill. They got caught completely unawares in terms of injuries, people leaving, everything else, and they had no one. And we went through a lull like this where they had to build people. They had to make stars. It forced them to make stars. And that's what's going on right now, is they are again in a position where they have to make people.
They're making people, but they're females.
Yeah. Well, and that's fine, right? That's completely fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I would love for the top stars to all be female, but that's not realistic for the product. So it's, again, you need to start rebuilding your male roster, and whether that's with what you already have, if you bring people up from NXT, which may happen. Again, this could accelerate call-ups from NXT in terms of, look, we need stars to backfill. We need names. People that we can throw up on the marquee, not just, you know, jobbers. We need names. So you could see the likes of Aleister Black show up. You could see Johnny Gargano show up. You could see Tommaso Ciampa show up. You could see really anybody show up at this point to help fill those spots that need to be filled and raise the brand back up in terms of roster depth just a little bit. But this show sort of emphasized all of that.
It did.
Quite a bit.
It did. But now,
but I mean, it didn't hurt it.
No, but now we got to talk about the main event.
And then we get to this match. This goddamn match. Oh my God. The Undertaker and Kane versus Shawn Michaels and Triple H, which I didn't realize this was the first and only time, y'all, only time that the Brothers of Destruction and DX, the original DX of Hunter and Shawn, ever fought in a tag. Never realized that. I don't think ever. And then it's like you start doing the math in your head and you're like, yep. That makes sense.
So,
but yeah.
I want to mention something. Shawn Michaels is freaking awesome.
Shawn Michaels is 53 years old.
Hasn't wrestled in 8.5 years.
Looks like he never left.
Well, couple moments, but because it's Kane. But Shawn did everything Shawn could do. Were there moments where Shawn couldn't lift up Kane because Kane's 300 and something pounds and Shawn probably hasn't lifted real weights in a long time? Yeah, but guess what? It played into the story perfectly. Did Shawn have to do more probably than he thought he would because of Triple H getting injured when he got whipped over the top rope? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some flaws in this match for sure. You had Kane lose his mask.
Yeah, that was...
Hunter hurt his boob, blame Prince.
We'll get there in a minute.
But, and then there's the whole The Undertaker and Kane. Okay, I have to talk about this. And I have to give them shit for it, even though I really have no place to give them shit. But, alright, these guys are 7 feet tall. They're standing probably 3 feet from Shawn Michaels. Dude pops out a moonsault off the top rope. They're both standing right there. They fail to catch him, because he goes right between them, and he face plants right on the mat.
Busts up his nose,
and Taker and Kane are like, oh, crap.
So, some of my favorite stuff in this matchup was, like, every time Shawn did something, he's like, oh my god, I can still do it. Oh my god, I can still do it. The smile and smirk on his face when he nipped up that one time, he just smirked. All right, cool, I got it, I got it. I can still do it.
I'm good, I'm fine, I'm fine.
I got it. That's awesome. Like, yeah. Like, Shawn doing his signature spots, like, yeah, Shawn, that's Shawn. Yeah, that's Shawn. Like I said, was it as flashy as he was? No, because he's 53 years old. But there was those flashes of Shawn, like, Shawn being Shawn, and it just, yeah.
It was weird that he didn't have hair.
It was very, very weird that it Sean didn't have hair, but...
But what was interesting was it's like he and Hunter wore matching outfits, which was adorable, by the way. But yeah, it's like, it's Shawn Michaels. The man is 53 years old and he got in the ring and he looked like he'd never left. Like, he's been retired for 8.5 years. You wouldn't be able to tell. Now, is he the Shawn Michaels of old? Not really. I mean, he's not who he was in the early 90s, that's for sure, but none of them are. But in terms of Shawn, from when we last saw him to now, dude, he looks like he never left.
He's Shawn freaking Michaels.
I mean, my God, the man is insane. And it's just like, there is a reason he is one of the all-time greats. That's why.
Like, you can...
That's why.
You look at him, like, they did a 28-minute match. He worked a good 15 minutes of that match, if not more, by himself. Working around Kane and Undertaker. Working around Hunter's injury. Like, they spent a while early on doing the old school move with the Taker's old school. Like, he sold it perfectly, and it was like, I don't know, everything about it is like, it's Shawn, and it's like, you can't, if you had high expectations for a 5-star classic, then you went into this match the wrong way. But if you went in there to be entertained by one, the greatest in-ring performer of all time, you got it. Because that's what Shawn does.
This was great. This was everything from a nostalgia standpoint you could ever want. Taker, you overdramatic asshole, who had to wait for like 20 freaking gongs before he decided to take his sweet time to walk to the ring. Like he does. I swear to God, every year, every time we see The Undertaker, he gets more and more dramatic. Like, he is WWE's resident drama queen, The Undertaker. We all love him for it, but it's like, right there.
Okay, so here's something early on in the match that I need to talk about, because I just remembered it. So, like, when Hunter tagged in Shawn, it was Shawn against Kane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Shawn's feeling himself. He's good. He's all good. And then Kane goes and tags The Undertaker. And then Shawn's demeanor...
Crap.
And then Undertaker does the throat slash. And then Shawn does the crop chop. And then, like, all right, we're good. It's like, he was all happy, all good, bubbly. And it was Shawn being Shawn. And then, oh, Undertaker.
Right, that big,
we meet
big,
again.
Scary-looking dude.
We meet again, old friend.
It's like, hi!
Hi.
Please don't kill me.
Don't kill me. Yeah. Shawn and Hunter won. Taker and Kane lost. Shawn was freaking awesome. Like, I don't know anything else I can say. I can go on and on about this matchup, because it was that, for me, I know the internet was like, oh, this is wasting Shawn, and this is wasting... Shawn didn't want to go out and do a 30-minute main event solo match. Could he still do it? Maybe. Will we see it happen? Possibly. I don't know. But if this was the last time, I'm cool with it.
This was Shawn dusting off the boots one more time, purely for nostalgia, and getting in the ring with probably some of his favorite people, and doing one more match with some of his favorite people, at least his favorite person ever, which is Hunter.
And then Taker, and then...
Yeah, and then Kane. And, I mean, them just literally getting in the ring and mixing it up one more time, because why not? Because they've never done DX versus the Brothers of Destruction, and they're ticking off all the bucket list items. It almost feels like they're ticking off the bucket list items for both Shawn and Taker. It's like there's just certain things that they haven't done in their career, and they're so obscure at this point that it's like, okay, well, let's see if we can make it happen, because nobody's seen it. And this was something that it's like, it was a nice cap off to the pay-per-view. It was like, was it perfect? No. But it's like, you had them go out there and you have them give the best performance that they possibly could. You had Hunter finish the match with a goddamn torn pec, which bravo to him for that, because he didn't have to do it. He could have left. They could have just ended the match right there after he tore it, because he tore it in like the first 5 minutes of the match. But he continued on and he kept working, despite the fact that it was hurt.
Yeah, which made for some awkward pedigrees because he couldn't move his arm. That notwithstanding.
That you can forgive because he was hurt.
Like, and that people are saying, oh, you could hear him say, whip me here. Well, guess what? He couldn't move his goddamn arm. On the Irish whip, he can't move his arm. He can't, like, whip him.
The man finished the match hurt.
Yeah.
I don't really care what he said. He finished the match hurt. That alone deserves a level of respect that I feel like nobody's really giving him, because there isn't that appreciation for it, I feel like, anymore. That it's like, he finished the match hurt. And it's possibly even because they don't really do that, where they don't emphasize that, where it's like, oh, you know, they got back up and they got back in hurt.
Yeah.
Because we don't necessarily believe it, but it's like, in the fact that this is a legitimate injury, we know it's a legitimate injury, and he's finishing the match because he can. Because he flew all the way to Saudi Arabia to do this, and he gets hurt in the first 5 minutes, so it's like, no, damn it. No, I'm finishing this match. This is what I've signed up for. This is what I want to do. All my buddies are in there. I'm going to do the damn thing. And he did. And I mean, props to Hunter for doing it. Props to Sean. Props to Taker. Props to Kane. I mean, all of them. Again, this was not a 5-star classic. Nobody was expecting it to be. But it was entertaining.
It was.
It was fun. And you know what? I got to see the goddamn Undertaker again, which that's just seeing as Bray Wyatt has not been on
my
TV
God.
In 2 months or more at this point. I will take it. I'm going to stay on that until he shows up on TV. Which, by the way, he's somewhere in Florida whoring around and getting tattoos. So if somebody wants to go find him and put him back on TV, that would be great. But yeah. So, this was fine. I mean, I feel like this pay-per-view got a lot of flack simply because of political reasons, and that's fair, because it was an awkward political situation, and nobody wanted them to really go over, and I feel like if they could have gotten out of it, if they could have moved it, if they could have done anything for it, they would have. But the fact was, this, like, the whole political deal happened within a month of them going. There was nothing they could do.
No. All right. So getting off of that for a second, the one nice touch from Sean. He had NXT on his gear.
He did. That was so sweet.
He did.
He loves his kids.
He does. And the best part at the end, they're laying in the corner together, him and Hunter. He goes, "We're too old for this."
Sean's like, "I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm so done. I did it. I can still do it. Curiosity satisfied. I'm out. Bye, y'all." Because I feel like that was like Hunter and Sean being like, "We want our kids to see us wrestle." And that's what that was. And they're not talking about their actual children. They're talking about their NXT children.
Sean just proved that 53 years old, he can still go. And now everything he says to all the kids down in NXT, it's like, here's what you gotta do. With that, I said we do this.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Yes. Yes. So officially, Hunter's boob.
AKA torn pec. For Triple H.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And Ty Dillinger's finger.
A broken thumb.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So those are your official blame Brents. And we didn't want to talk about them until after we talked about Crown Jewel. But yeah. I mean, if you watched it, great. If you didn't watch it, fine. I liked it. I thought it was enjoyable. I mean, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed myself.
I mean, it's like, you know what? It was what it was. I thought the first event in Saudi Arabia was a little better, but this was fine. Totally, totally fine. Not gonna hate on it at all. But I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
First and only break of the evening. Let's get some plugs in and stuff like that. And we'll come back, do SmackDown the next team tweets.
Sounds like a plan. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns,
maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that.
What's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RackRadioShow.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Rest of our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GearWork.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com as well. And, well, we have gotten past the news. We've gotten past Crown Jewel. That must mean one thing. Tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Looking back, it's been a hot minute since we've done this.
Yeah, sorry guys, but life took a gigantic nosedive for me there for a minute. So yeah, but it's back. It's back. Things are getting back in order, so we're good. Tim the Tap Man, out in my favorite Fortnite sweatshirt for lunch. Guy serving me. Hey, nice hoodie. I love that game. Me. Thanks. It's definitely fun. Me thinking as I sit down, Betty would have recognized Ninja. Sad face. Oh, poor Tim.
Did you get the follow-up to that?
No. There's a follow-up to it?
Cloak, what food did you order? Tim, don't worry about it. Cloak, I need new friends. Tim, I had salad, okay? He's on a diet.
Oh, poor Cloak.
Anyway, poor Tim, rather.
I love these guys. They're so funny.
No, there's more. I found more of it.
You found more of it?
Lupo replying to that thing. Me, yeah, ever watch it on Twitch? Guy serving. Absolutely love watching Ninja play it.
Oh.
Keep him.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. All right. So Seth Rollins, as a great man once said, if you want to be the man, you got to beat me first.
Woo. Okay.
And Becky Lynch replies, no problem. I could spare 5 minutes to drop down and face you. Send location and bring those adorable little flame trunks you have so the champ can show you how to really burn it down. Becky snatched Seth Rollins bald a couple times.
Not the only one.
No, not the only one. And then WWE put out a tweet, you know, man of hashtag Madrid, because, you know, Rollins was in Madrid, and he's like, read that, Becky Lynch. And she's like, you might be a man, but I am undeniably the man. Yes. Yes, Becky, you are. These are all out of order. So I'm sorry.
Because Twitter.
Because Twitter. So then WWE 3 days later, or 3 days ago, tweets out, the man, WWE Rollins, is in the building for Raw. Sorry, Becky Lynch. A man is in the building, which is, by the way, kind of sexist. Just saying that, you know, it's like, oh, hey, look, a man is in the building. Oh, wow. You know, her whole thing is that she beat the man, therefore she is the man. Anyway, Becky replies, you dopes better be sorry. Your need to constantly get my attention is eye rolling. Now, before you go back to your armpit farting competition or whatever it is you do, tell the people to watch The Man on SmackDown Live tonight. I might have something to say to my new friend, Rhonda. Seth replies, don't get your cute little flame pants in a bunch. And it shows a picture or the gif of Becky in her little flame outfit. And she replies, come on, brain. Think. How do we respond? 3 days later. Got it. I'll kind of say what she said. Oh, man, I'm going to win the internet with this one. And it's a Seth Rollins tweet. Or it's a Seth Rollins gif of him thinking, Becky. Becky, I love you so much. He didn't reply. He was just like, I'm done.
I'm just done with you.
She kind of owned it. But seriously, WWE, if you like to make Seth Rollins versus Becky Lynch happen, I would be perfectly okay with that. I think pretty much the entirety of the internet would be okay with that. Not that you care what we think. So, but yeah, if that could happen, that would be awesome. Just throwing that out there for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm done.
All right. Like I said, it's been a hot minute since we've done this. Courage, back on October 5th.
Wow.
Vegas update. Wild success so far. I'm at an all-you-can-eat buffet now with Hector. I just had the most random mix of food on my plate, and I couldn't be happier. Drake concert tonight. Excited is an understatement. LaRock. My little Jasmine loves watching me clang and bang in the Iron Paradise. Warms my cold black heart as she sits in awe. Wow, Daddy, you're so strong, while I hammer away. Ironically, my baby son, Kevin Hart, does the exact same thing, too, when watching his daddy.
Damn.
Courage. Yeah, it was cool that Ninja played Fortnite with Ellen DeGeneres, I guess, but I bet he didn't get sent an entire box filled with every flavor of Doritos. My week, greater than his week. And then Ninja posted a thing of him actually having Doritos, and Courage then fell in his chair, because of reasons. It's what they do. Seth Rollins. I make one game all year, and you play defense like this? I hate football. Seth Rollins. Well, never going to another game ever again.
But yeah, he loves football this week.
Marcel, Ninja didn't know who I was again. 0 for 2. Lupo, sweet Jesus, this roast material just writes itself. Zeke, one day away from the fall skirmish. Courage replies, Zeke, how do I get there? I'm in my room. I'm scared to go outside because of the sunlight. Zeke, I can get you in. You should just come find me. He's scared of the sun. I mean, it is what it is. Sundown goes, we'll ride over on scooters and come get you. Because, you know, they're friends. They're all friends. Gotta make sure he's okay in the sun. Tim the Tatman, disappointed the roast thought it was food. Courage replies, Lupo won. Tim replied, sorry, dude. Would have had you on, but can't see you over the podium.
Ouch.
Bro, I'm 5'9". You're all just gigantic, was his reply.
Well, I mean, they kind of are, so.
So, Lupo has had some issues lately. It started on the plane. They just said the Wi-Fi is inoperable on this flight. I will miss you, Twitter. Remember me?
It was the start of his internet woes.
It really, really was. Which we'll get to in a minute. As I keep scrolling up. Katie Nolan, the only bags you're allowed to bring into an NFL stadium are clear ones. So that dildo is either on full display or elsewhere. They did throw a dildo out on Bill's field a couple weeks ago. Ty Dillinger. Hey guys, I appreciate the words well, the entertaining skeptics. Accidents happen, and I was hoping it wasn't serious, but that was wishful thinking. I really want tonight's opportunity for the US title. I require surgery, and the timetable is currently unknown. Thanks to WWE Metalscape for taking quick action. Thank you for your support. I'll be back soon. PS 1, learning to be right-handed sucks. 2, you really do need your thumbs. And 3, it took 7 minutes to type. It took 7 minutes to tweet these messages. That must suck.
That does suck.
Alexa Bliss, yep, I cosplay. Hashtag still beat you, though. Just saying. Becky Lynch replied, you should cosplay as Waterboy because all the time you spend on the sidelines.
Ouch.
Alexa Bliss, haha, that was good. I'll save you a seat next to me for after Survivor Series. Becky Lynch, ah, shut your face. You probably pulled the hamstring typing that lame reply. Courage, I just looted 20 buildings in Blackout and didn't get a single armor causing me to lose the game. Fortnite has zombies and rockets deal damage through walls. I'm going outside. It's my only option left. Luke Harper. My 6-year-old son Brody drinks his Frosty with a straw. Wendy's, is this acceptable or should I plan on moving him out? Wendy's replied, it's honestly impressive, but it is Saturday. You know what that means.
Way to go.
Oh, Lord. Fortnite shows off the new Wasteland skins. Marcel goes, these skins are pretty dope. If I were to buy one, then I would use the creator code. His creator code. Someone replies, whatever, use Dr. Lupo on Twitch. What would happen? Dr. Lupo smiles in happiness. Oh my god, hi Lupo, just for this, I'm using your code, thank you. Marcel, hi Paige, just wanted to say I love you more than Lupo. Dr. Lupo, it's not true, Paige, don't listen to his lies. He wants to buy a castle, and I just want to share ice cream with you. Think about it. Marcel, I fortified castle to protect you, Paige. Shield it from the harshness that is Lupo's deceit. I love when they go back and forth. It is tremendous. All the creators on Twitch are tremendous when they go on Twitter. Let's see. Kanye West tweeted, McDonald's is my favorite restaurant. Wendy's, my favorite restaurant. So, Lupo was without internet and had this to say after hanging stuff. Cool. Which we had Tim and Tapman reply.
Ben, I hope that they fix your internet soon.
And does some weird eyes to the camera. Lupo goes, it's cold and lonely without internet, Tim. I don't even have any games installed that I can play offline. Trevor May replied, Monopoly. You can always play Monopoly. You really can.
That's cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Monopoly destroys families.
It does. There's a cheater's version. Did you know that? They make a cheater's version of Monopoly.
I may have to play that.
And there's also Fortnite Monopoly. Courage replied.
Ben, toys look great, man. And Tim, hope you're enjoying the games tonight, man. Looks like a lot of fun. That's cool. All right, guys. I'm going to go keep... I'm streaming at twitch.tv/CourageJD. We're live right now. We're back here on the road to 1 million followers. Twitch.tv/CourageJD.
Courage. Courage. Dude. No.
Dr. Lupo, it's update. Still don't have internet. It has resulted in me actually being productive and cleaning the house. Thoughts of something called a sub count crossed my mind and then faded as I stepped into what others call natural light. Think I might go outside.
No.
Corey Graves, it's 5:35 a.m. and I'm wide awake and ironing clothes for tomorrow. It's official. I don't even know what planet I'm on anymore. Very true. Someone named Justin goes, Jeff Sessions getting fired the day after Trump's first midterms is like Heyman getting sent home the day after WWE's first ECW pay-per-view, which Dave Lagana tweeted, oh god, does this mean I'm getting picked for this job too? If you haven't followed the Becky Lynch Ronda stuff on Twitter, you need to. But here's one set. Ronda goes, oh damn, champ, the hashtag. I just realized I've been using hashtag Ronda versus Becky. But of course, the man needs the front billing. See, I'm getting better. I'm even catching myself now. Hashtag Becky versus Ronda it is from now on. See you at the Survivor Series. Champ, Becky Lynch replied, dear Slim, I rode you, but you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone at the bottom. Dropping him in them lyrics now. She's the best.
We're going to get to her in SmackDown, but yeah, she's owning this.
And because we are...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to...
This week's SmackDown. Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Ronda cut a fantastic promo on Monday. Then Becky stepped up her game and cut one back.
Oh my god, Becky Lynch is just literally on fire right now. I mean, she's just owning this. Like, literally owning the hell out of whatever this is. I don't even know what to call it, but it's just fantastic. fantastic what she's doing. And yeah, she's like, yeah, okay, yeah, you took shots at, you know, where I've been. Well, hey, guess what? I wasn't handpicked, but I'm still here. I wasn't supposed to be the talk of the industry. I'm still, but here I am. It's like, you know what? It doesn't matter where I came from. I'm here and I'm coming for you. So what are you going to do about it? Like, that was just her promo. And granted, she flubbed it a little bit, but when she got into it, oh man, it was like, all right, here we go. Here we go.
You say you might be the baddest bitch on the planet, but at Survivor Series, I'm going to make you mine.
Do it, Becky. Do it. Do the damn thing. Please, do the damn thing. I know she's not going to, but god damn it, I would love to see Becky Lynch do that. Oh, that would be amazing.
But then, oh then, she's like, I'm all worked up and I want to fight. So she called out a mystery opponent. And you hear Sanity's music playing. It's like, oh wait, they found Sanity because we haven't seen them in like 2 months. So Lindsay finally gets a point for Sanity showing up. Hooray.
They're on my team. Wait, they're on my team?
Yeah.
Oh.
I believe so.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore. Half my team is missing.
Yeah, they're one of the people on your team missing. Yeah.
The captain is, again, somewhere in Florida getting tattoos. I don't know when he's coming back, if he's ever coming back. If you see him, please tell him we'd very much like him back on TV.
Use the Where's Bray command in chat. So, Sanity.
What is the Where's Bray command in chat?
Where's Bray?
What does it do?
It says whoring around in Florida, we think.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fair enough.
So, Sanity returns. Like, oh, Sanity, well, why are they coming out? Oh, crap, it's Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross makes her debut with the fam on SmackDown in her home. Not really her home country because she's Scottish, but in the UK. Holy crap. Mama's home. The family's back together. Hot damn. And it's Nikki and Becky. Nikki runs down to the ring. She gets a nice ovation from the crowd. And she's running around. And Becky's just kind of looking at her like, okay, all right. And then Becky's like,
go ahead.
Who the hell are you?
And I want to play. I want to play. I want to play. Let's play. Let's play. Let's play. Let's play. Let's play.
Let's play.
They had a hell of a match.
They had a really, really good match. I mean, very enjoyable match between the two. And yeah, I'm 1,000% okay with this. I mean, it's just, can I get pregnant from Becky Lynch and Nikki Cross being a thing? Because I'm going to be having kids if that's the case. Just
FYI.
If this is where, if Nikki Cross is where she goes after Ronda, okay. So be it.
So
fine.
Be it. Fine. Hopefully that's the call. Things that happened on this match, on this show included the opening segment where Shane McMahon and Paige brought out Daniel Bryan. Well, first they did the whole trophy thing and Shane said, this belonged to SmackDown. He's not actually the best in the world. Brought out Daniel Bryan as team captain of SmackDown for the men. And then Miz came out and said he's actually 2/3 of the best in the world because he won 2/3 of the tournament and Shane only won the one little thing. So does he get the trophy for 20 days or what have you? Shane could stay with them. It doesn't matter. So Miz also wanted to be team captain. Shane's like, yeah, that's a good idea. So now Miz and Bryan are co-captains of the SmackDown Live team. So throughout the night, you had little different segments. They both agreed to put Shane on the team. Miz got a pick where, that was Miz's pick. Bryan got a pick. He won at Ray. They were making sure Ray won his match. Ray won his match over Andrade Cien Almas. And then they both got to choose an opponent for the main event. The winner would be in the main event and fight for the be on Team SmackDown, which was Jeff Hardy and Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe ended up winning. So Samoa Joe is part of the team. There's a little bit of pull apart. Shane got knocked down. See where that goes.
This is great.
Miz and Bryan as team captains. It's fine. They didn't cut out the Punk chance. They lowered the Punk chance. Because you heard some of them when they're chanting CM Punk at Shane. So that was fine. Them together works. So it'll be interesting to see how they work next week and then at Survivor Series. You had the Usos and New Day battle for who will be the team captain for the tag team match at Survivor Series. I guess that's the best way to put it, between Raw and SmackDown. So it's Usos beating New Day, so Usos are on it. New Day are also on the team. I guess there's going to be another team or two, I guess, in that? I don't know.
Sanity,
maybe, probably. Who knows?
AOP?
Well, AOP would be for... No, AOP is fighting the Bar for the tag titles.
All right.
So AOP is also Raw.
I don't know. Maybe Maybe they could reunite a certain family.
Yes, the Colognes will be probably a part of...
Wrong family!
Anyway, so there's that. So that was basically SmackDown in a nutshell. Some good solid wrestling. AJ cut a promo. Also, the team SmackDown for the women is Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and Charlotte, but Charlotte wasn't there. Mandy Rose came out. She wanted to be on a team, and she wanted to know why Sonya got picked over her. And then there's a little bit of a brawl and between Mandy and Naomi, and it was fine.
It was good. It was solid.
You're setting up the team for SmackDown. Go ahead.
One of the things that was interesting about this was that Lana took to Twitter and called BS on the fact that she wasn't picked, and there were no qualifying matches. It was all done by favoritism.
Rusev did the same thing on Twitter, so they're running an angle. Probably on SmackDown, they'll both probably get an opportunity, I would assume. Assume that's where that goes. But I could be wrong.
Could be wrong, but I mean, it was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. But overall, that was SmackDown?
That was SmackDown. I thought it was fine. It was very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. NXT?
NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So, last week, when we weren't able to cover the show, I wanted to cover one match that happened on it and what everything was set up. Got to see Matt Riddle wrestle. He took on Luke Mendes, which is an awful name, Mendes. You can tell Riddle has something special, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
He is a different style. They also set up the main event, the War Games match, which was well done, where it's Undisputed Era. They were cutting a promo, then you had the War Raiders attack them, and then you had Ricochet get involved, and then you had Pete Dunne get involved. So you're setting up War Games, Dunne, Ricochet, and the War Raiders versus Undisputed Era. That was the previous week. So that there's you're caught up on there. Then... You also had Nikki Cross and Mercedes Martinez, which is really good. Then you had this week's show, which was main evented by Velveteen Dream and Lars Sullivan, which saw Lars Sullivan get the victory after Ciampa got involved, and then Dream left Ciampa late. That was a good close to that show, sets up the main event there. You had Johnny cut a promo in the parking lot. Why, Johnny, why? And he cut a promo saying, he said the attack was just collateral damage. Gargano said the Black is running around the place freely. Gargano said, Gargano is a good guy and hero of the story. He said, he only did one evil thing and everyone freaks out. He hasn't changed. He fights for what's right. He said, sometimes you have to fight a little dirty. He said, Black probably wants to kick his face off. And Gargano said he probably deserves it, but he's not afraid of Aleister Black. He said he lives in a dark place and is not afraid of the dark. He's actually starting to like it. And then he put the camera down on the asphalt where he left Aleister laying. Interesting. Good stuff.
Nice touch.
Dakota Kai defeated Tanaira Conti. Solid matchup. And you had the Heavy Machinery beat the Forgotten Sons in your opening contest. You set up Candice is going to go after Nikki Cross because last week they got into a confrontation. And this week Candice showed up and basically she wants a match with Nikki Cross challenging her. So we're going to probably get them fighting in a little bit. And you also had Shayna Baszler get told her match with Kairi Sane is coming up at NXT TakeOver, and it'll be 2 out of 3 falls.
Hey.
So, yeah. And you set up Mia Yim and Bianca as well as the future matchup. Overall, it was a solid match, solid show. You're heading into NXT TakeOver strong. Everything. You had the build-up for War Games done. You have the build-up for Aleister and Johnny done. The build-up for Lars and... Not Lars, Velveteen and Ciampa done. So you're rounding into shape for what the pay-per-view will be next Saturday. So overall, good episode, solid episode of NXT.
Ding! But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. We do something called The Gray and the Great Debate. And you don't want to miss what we're doing this week. So check it out. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag Blame Ron when somebody dies. Should mention, coming up in just a little bit, we'll be doing Fortnite with friends. Just stick around for that. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio will preview Survivor Series. 10 p.m. Eastern. They will preview it. I'm going to be watching Eagles, Cowboys. I don't know. Anyway. Monday night's Raw Post Show, I guess no longer 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Eastern, I guess that's the new tagline, possibly. To recap Monday Night Raw, we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Track Radio Show on all your favorite social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can get us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. The Rack Radio Show for that is at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. And make sure you follow and subscribe. twitch.tv/WTRLive.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LANSWRD. And, well, you can also check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, FiveBoot.com, MBGFilms, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week. Everybody stay tuned, sit tight if you're interested, because Fortnite with friends, in some capacity, is next. So till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.